And we're going to have open lines for you now, right here on Coast to Coast AM. I have to tell you a great little story here. I'm in St. Louis last day, go to Denver this weekend to tape our Beyond Belief television shows before I head back to Los Angeles. And my son, one of his dreams has always been, he was born in St. Louis, and he's an avid St. Louis Cardinals baseball fan, has been to go to the stadium, Busch Stadium, and just to be able to, you know, hit a baseball or two. And it's kind of cool to watch a dream unfold. So we got invited today to go to Busch Stadium to benefit the children of military veterans. It was a benefit. And part of the benefit was that we would go to Busch Stadium and hit baseballs on the stadium, in the stadium, right there on the field. And what a dream. Jonathan was just excited. I mean, he's 32 years old. And I said, all right, we'll do it. So, you know, we were in a group of eight people. There must have been about 60 people invited to go there for this benefit and bat and do all this stuff. And I used to play a lot of baseball. I mean, a lot of baseball. And I haven't played it in 30 years. But man, in my day, I played a lot and I was pretty darn good. Few things I'm good at in life, and that was one of them. And so, you know, he was the number one that they picked to go up and bat. And they had a warm-up pitcher, you know, actually throw the baseballs and everything else. And, you know, he's on the field. He's on the field where the St. Louis Cardinals play their 81 home games every year. And so there he is. And he is just smashing that ball. I mean, I was impressed. And, you know, he's hitting line drives. He hit one to the warning track. It was just amazing. And I was about number seven. So he was done, and, you know, we're all cheering for him, and I was really proud of him. He did a great job, and he fulfilled his dream. He got a chance to do this. And now he gets a chance to see his dad do his thing. And so I'm thinking, okay, you know, I really haven't played in 30 years, but it's like a bicycle, right? And so I said, you know what, I'm going to show my son up. Watch this. Good old dad is going to do his thing. So when it was my turn to come up, you know, I'm doing my thing, and they introduced me, and everybody's cheering. They all listen to Coast, and the warm-up pitcher starts to throw, and I take a swing, and I miss it. I don't normally miss baseballs like that, and I'm not talking about brutally fast pitches here. This is almost like lob baseball, right? He throws another one. I miss it. He throws another one. I miss it. I mean, I'm saying, what, I have a hole in my bat? This is weird. This has never happened to me before. And anyways, he ends up throwing 25 pitches at me. Keep in mind, there are hundreds of people in the stands, little kids, 25 pitches at me. I miss them all. I didn't hit one. I even tried to bunt one, and I missed it. It was unbelievable. And so I turned around, and they're all cheering. I mean, they thought it was a skit because nobody could be that bad. And my son is there just shaking his head because, you know, he remembers me from some of the early days. And it was unbelievable. So he had his lifelong dream, and I guess you could say I did too because I watched him fulfill it. But man, there's a lesson here about practice makes perfect and you have to stay at it. Whatever you do in your life, keep at it, because when you have a lull and you think you're going to just pick up where you left off, it just doesn't happen that way. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, and let's go to the calls, get things rolling here. By the way, right at the end of the program, we're going to do a tribute to the late Michael Rupert. Michael, of course, has passed away, another Coast to Coast guest. Michael was a former Los Angeles Police Department officer. He became a political activist, and he was found dead. He had been staying in a trailer for a few months. And it's just a very sad, sad story in Oregon. And they say he died of self-inflicted gunshot wounds. I'm beginning to think there's something going on here. I can't piece it together yet. We've had so many coast-to-coast guests who are on cutting edge of conspiratorial stories. And, you know, whether it was Michael Hastings, whose car blows up after he gets in an accident. Philip Coppens, of course, who was an investigative reporter all his life. Michael Rupert now. Dr. Roger Lear, Evelyn Paglini, Lloyd Pye, who is convinced that the Star Child was indeed extraterrestrial. There's too many weird things going on. But we're going to have a little tribute at the end of the program for in memory of Michael Rupert. He was 63 years old. He was very young, and he was a great, great guest. Anyway, we'll go to the phones. Brandon in Phoenix, west of the Rockies. Hey, Brandon, good morning to you.
Hey, George, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it. First-time caller.
I love it. By the way, I'm going to be in Scottsdale in May at the Earthkeeper event. So
really?
We'll post it on the website later. And,
all right. I'd like to go meet you.
By. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah, my question was about your guest yesterday. He was kind of talking about like the end of times and, you know, seeing how the government's becoming corrupt and everything. My question was about like in Revelations about the mark of the beast. You know, it says that, you know, this mark, whatever it will be on your forehead and in your palm, and you won't be able to buy or sell anything. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading, and, you know, there's tons of stuff on the Internet, and it seems like a lot of it could tie in with Social Security. You know, you can't do anything without it. And I just had a baby girl, and,
well,
you know, in the hospital.
Congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. And, you know, even in the hospital, you know, they're trying to give her a welfare number. I mean, it's not like she's going out to start working, you know. Next week, you know, they're already trying to, you know, set her up with this number and everything. And I don't know. I don't like how our country's coming and, you know, trying to sign kids up for welfare numbers. And, you know, I don't know. I'd like to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I just had a story, Brandon, at the top of the hour at our 10 o'clock hour Pacific time of biometrics. And what they want to do is get to the point to avoid, and this is what they're going to say to us, we have to avoid hacking and theft and credit card theft and everything else. We need to go to biometrics, whether that's a chip in your palm of your hand or whatever, but that's what they want to do. And the headline of the story is you can no longer buy or sell without it. Isn't that exactly what they say in Revelation? It's scary. It's scary. John is in South Bend, Indiana. Hey, John, your turn.
Yeah, okay, hi.
Hi.
Hey, I called a report about on your story about what do I know that the government won't tell us. Well, when FDR died in 1945 from supposedly a cerebral hemorrhage,
mm-hmm.
This person told me he shot himself with a .38 caliber revolver.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
That might blow your mind. But anyhow, that's one of the stories.
How did they get that information?
The CIA killed him.
Well, tell me, how did you get that? How did he get that information about that?
Well, I'll tell you what. I'd tell you, but I don't want the government to know about it. They don't tell us nothing. Let them stew and figure out how I know it. But, you know, do you ever drive to Detroit?
No, I fly now.
Okay, I just thought, well, if maybe sometime I'll send you a letter and give you information, or if you, because I don't want the government to know it. They don't tell us nothing because it's a lying criminal organization. But anyhow, that's one of the things. And then when John F. Kennedy was assassinated,
yeah,
when they rushed him to the hospital, they gave him the wrong blood in his transfusion, and if that's another CIA.
Oh, jeez. I didn't hear that.
My sister was a registered nurse, and it came up through the grapevine through the hospitals and doctors, and she knew about it within 2 weeks.
I think he was a goner anyways, don't
he
you?
He was. She said if the gunshot hadn't killed him, the blood would have.
Yeah, there's
that
no doubt
that. That was a safety backup, make sure he didn't live. But anyhow, then the third thing, if you got time,
yeah, go ahead.
I've observed observed an invisible airplane that America has. You ever hear about anybody call you about that?
I've heard some things about a stealth aircraft. What do you know here?
Stealth. This is a plane invisible. I got that out of that book from Transformation of America with Kathy Sullivan, was it? O'Reilly and Mark Phillips. But she's the one that let me know about the invisible airplane. Well, in 09, when that new president gave a commencement exercise at Notre Dame, I was in the backyard about 3 o'clock, and I was hearing this military plane flying around, but didn't think nothing of it. But what the last, and it was a military-style aircraft, the noise. It was a loud thing. You know, they aren't quiet. And I was following it, and I was in the backyard, and that sound of a gun come right over my head, and I couldn't see it. I looked, there was no leaves, and nice out, and I thought maybe there was something that was playing tricks. And then a week before that, there was a strange airplane was flying around, and I associated the noise. It sounded like I associated the noise with an 810 with those warthogs. And he made 4 passes on 2 different days, and it I saw the plane. It looked like it come out of the junkyard. It was a DC-3. And old rusty thing, and it had turboprops on it. So I saw it when it wasn't invisible. And then it was invisible when I went over there.
Well, there's no doubt, John, we've got that kind of technology. We really do. But why don't you email me, or why don't you just mail me, if you feel more comfortable doing that, to my network in Los Angeles, the information on JFK and on FDR. I'd like to see that. And by the way, has anyone seen the movie Parkland? It's on television. It's on cable. It's about the hospital that JFK was taken to. I was watching a little bit of it tonight, and then I had to get ready and go to the studio. But if you saw that, send me an email or give us a call and tell me. Don't tell me the ending, but how realistic do you think that movie was? Because it was pretty good. I was getting into it. Let's go to Ricky in Honolulu. Hey, Ricky, welcome to the show.
Hi there, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Interesting
shows
wonderful.
You have. I'll be quick. I've been, you had a guest on not too long ago, Nancy DeTertra, and I've been following her predictions about the Malaysian airliner, and I was wondering, what are your thoughts on what do you think happened to that airliner? Because it's the greatest mystery of the decade.
Oh, there's no doubt. Let me tell you, I think one of two things happened. One, either the plane was hijacked from those 2 passport thieves, or the pilot was involved and he did it. And then he either took it to an island somewhere or some landing strip and it's still there. Or, as he was maneuvering to try to get away for some specific reason, they ran out of fuel and he crashed. I mean, he was all over the map. To me, that doesn't sound like somebody who's out to commit suicide. You're going to commit suicide and you're the pilot. You're going to take control. You're going to dive bomb into the ocean. End of story. You're not going to fly all over the place. And that's what this plane did.
What do you think happened to the passengers?
I think if they landed on an island, they probably killed them all. There's also reports that it went up to 43,000 feet, and they could have suffocated that way as well. But there's also that strong possibility that in this hijacking or theft of the plane, and by maneuvering and flying all over the place the way he did, the plane merely ran out of fuel, and he couldn't get to his destination, and it crashed that way. It would be ironic and sad for him on that end and everybody else aboard. But I think one of those two scenarios is probably what happened. We may never know if we don't find the plane. Now, some people are theorizing, as our guests were earlier this week, that this thing went into like a Bermuda Triangle electronic fog and something happened to it that way, or it's into some kind of time warp. It's gone. Just physically gone. I don't know. What do you think happened?
I don't know. I've never, in my whole lifetime, and I've lived a few years, I've never seen anything like this. It's just, I'm just astounded by it. I'm just blown away. And I have one more question. You posted something on your website today, or your staff did, on that triangular flying object that was spotted over Wichita.
Yes.
What do you think that is? Do you think that maybe it's a military plane, like reverse engineering or something?
I think there's a strong possibility that some of these objects are ours. That's a possibility. But also, I think that they could be extraterrestrial. I mean, so I have to answer it by saying I don't know the origin or what it is, but it's one or the other. It's strange.
And if they are ours, they're not going to tell us, right? The military wouldn't tell us.
Of course not. No, they're using it for other reasons.
Well, keep on doing your great work. Why don't you come to Honolulu and speak at the Blaisdell Center sometime?
Now we got to set that up.
Draw a big crowd.
Yeah, we would. I was in Honolulu years ago, and I got to get to Hawaii in June or so. But that'll be the Big Island. You ever get to the Big Island?
No, because I have, when you're allergic to the bog, B-O-G, it's the poisonous sulfur from the volcano. You don't usually go to the Big Island. Those of us with allergies and asthma are pretty allergic to that.
Really? Is it that bad?
Yeah. It's very bad. It's very bad. Whenever the trade winds go away, which happens many times in the month, we all get sick.
All right. I did not know that. Okay, Ricky, hey, thanks a lot. Look, we're going to take a break in just a moment and come back with more open lines. And don't forget, on Saturday, our special guest for you will be, who will it be? It will be, I believe, Dave Schrader. And then George Knapp on Sunday, right here on Coast to Coast AM. Two superb guests. Let's go to Lather in Spokane, Washington. Lather up. Take it away.
I wanted to say that these weird triangular ships, my wife and I and several other people in Spokane, Washington, have seen this big silent ship at nighttime, sometimes in the daytime, floating around. It's a big giant triangle. It's got three lights that you see on each one on each corner, and they're black. And we've seen it repeatedly, and when you get anywhere within like about a half mile or less, they take off and they're silent, and they just hover there.
It was just like the Phoenix Lights, 1997, Millstadt, Illinois, before that, Millstadt was after that, but strange cases of large triangular-shaped objects. A lot of them are by military bases, but who owns them? And what are they? Who knows? Anyway, open lines will continue in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's time for our traditional shout-out, and thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. First of all, those of you who listen to your favorite radio stations across North America, thank you. Coast Insiders as well, and then Sirius XM Indie Channel 104. Those of you who follow us on Facebook and Twitter, which you can do by just going to CoastToCoastAM.com. It's up there in the far right-hand corner. And just follow us and like us there. Imaginative Worlds, hello, folks. Into Infinity, National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC, Fantastic Forum 2, the Omega Point Chronicles, the Nighthawk Nation, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks, folks, for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast. Look, if you're trying to get through on open lines, just keep trying. You'll get in eventually. Let's go next to Bonnie in Pahrump, Nevada. Hi, Bonnie. Good morning.
Hi. Thank you, George, for taking my call.
My pleasure.
By the way, I went to school in Clayton.
Oh, you did?
I did, yeah. I went to high
school. Great school. Isn't it super?
Yeah, it's a great. It actually wasn't Clayton. It was a private school. But it's in Clayton. Yeah. But anyway, I called in to talk to you about a dream that I had recently that was kind of disturbing.
Uh-oh.
Very disturbing, actually. And just to give a little background, when I'm pretty religious. When I came back to Christianity in the 90s, I began having these dreams where they would tell me about things that are going to happen. And they would tell me about things personally in my life, you know, something that's going to happen the next day that would happen, you know, or a couple of weeks down the road or whatever. Well, so I found out that if in some cases when I had dreams about things that I interpreted that were, you know, giving me a warning sign about something, that if I didn't heed it, that I was in a very bad place. So I had to always, you know, make sure that I followed. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I had a dream. 3 weeks ago, I had a dream there was a tsunami that hit Los Angeles.
Oh, boy.
And then a week later, I had a dream that I was walking out of a building in Los Angeles, and there was a Russian tank facing the building. And the city was surrounded by Russian tanks. And I travel a lot between Nevada and Los Angeles. Because I live in both places, kind of. And there's been a lot of strange things that I've noticed that have been going on through the mountains, you know, because I drive through the 127 going into Baker and then going down the 15.
Okay, so you get there. Yeah, I fly a lot from Burbank back and forth, but you drive.
I drive and I see a lot of activity that is unusual. Like, for example, I've noticed that there is an area on the Blue Diamond, and this is near Las Vegas, that they built a rock wall. And the rock wall, it covers up what's behind it. And this is just as you're about to enter Vegas from Pahrump. And this rock wall goes straight up, and you just can't see anything beyond it. So I got curious last week, and I decided to go up on that thing. And I went up there, and I looked, and I couldn't believe that down below was this huge area that they've excavated. It's just flat dirt, and it goes on for a very long way. And this rock wall, which you cannot go past a certain, you know, it says unauthorized entry prohibited, mm-hmm. The thing makes a curve and goes right into the mountain. And, yeah, interesting. It goes right into the mountain.
What's your take? What do you think they're using this for?
Well, I'll just say this. When I keep, you know, I listen to your show a lot, and I've been hearing people calling in saying that they've been hearing all these rumblings and blastings underground. I believe that it's possible that we are getting attacked underground, that it's possible that somebody is attacking our underground bases, and that's what's causing all the booming and blasting. And when I was driving through to Los Angeles just a few days ago, I just had this image as I was driving that troops were coming out of the mountains and that tanks were coming out of the mountains. And, it was so vivid, this thing. And they paved an area 3 miles out of Baker. This is another strange thing. Just a long paved area out in the middle of just nowhere.
But is this real or part of your dream now?
No. This is real. This is what I witnessed when I was driving in last time. Actually, I witnessed it a couple times when I drove. They paved the road about 2 miles out of Baker. It's called, it's called the 127. And it is paved for like 2 or 3 miles, just in nowhere. But there's flatlands all around it, and then there's a road that goes right into the mountain. Okay, these mountains, you're probably familiar with these mountains over there. I think they're called Turquoise Mountains, and they've got a lot of granite up in there. But that road just goes right spank into nowhere, you know, into the mountain. And my husband and I, you know, we live in Pahrump, which is, you know, near Area 51. I've been seeing a lot of helicopter activity, and there was one of these helicopters that have the double thing on top, you know, on each side, and it had a gun, a very long gun, just went over our house yesterday.
And you're saying this activity is more than normal?
I would say I think so. And, but it's also this other ground activity, this weird building. There's stuff going on out in the middle of nowhere, you know, that they're excavating. And it looks to me, and I honestly, in my observation of this, especially this area on the Blue Diamond, and anybody else who's out there who lives near the Blue Diamond, please let me know if you think differently, because this rock wall just appeared overnight.
How tall is the wall, Bonnie?
It's tall enough to where you can't see over it. So what I had to do...
10 feet, 8 feet, 10 feet?
At least 10 feet.
10 feet. That's huge. Yeah, and how long does it go?
Well, it goes, I don't know, maybe it's hard to explain. It goes down the road for a ways, and then it curves in towards the mountain, and it goes straight smack into the mountain. There's an entryway into the mountain.
Into the mountain. And whatever's going on is going on in the mountain, you're saying.
Somebody's coming out of that mountain, okay, soon. And what was interesting was is the ground was perfectly excavated, okay? So anybody that lives out there can go up there, and they can take a little turn off up into that wall. You can't go very far onto it, but when you get up onto it, it's a little bit scary because there's rock on either side, and you put your car up on top of it, and you get out, and you look down, and it's all excavated, and it just goes on forever. And it looks like the beginnings of a camp.
Okay, how do you know it's not like UFO-related as opposed to, as you said, an invasion?
Well, UFOs, look, I have enough experience just with my own experiences growing up and stuff. These are mostly ours.
This is our stuff. This stuff is ours.
This is flying stuff around. Yes, I was married to two military, you know, pilot, military, second husband. These are mostly our stuff.
What if they're making another Area 51 type place?
Well, they are, and I can tell you exactly where it's at, but this is not it. The new Area 51 is east of Carson City. Senator Reid and Senator Heller made a bill, okay, and this is, I know this is where they're putting the next Area 51 because the way the reading of the bill goes, they designated that area a, quote, wilderness area. Nobody is allowed to go onto it, and except they make an exception for a military airstrip or military exercises or military flyover. So it's obvious in the reading of the bill that this is going to be an area that's going to be military and it's going to be very secret. And that's why they're coming out. This is my opinion about it. This is why I believe that they're coming out talking about Area 51 now, because they want people to think it's still here. Okay. It's not. I'm sure they've moved it now.
Well, you've got a wealth of info. Bonnie, I want you to do me one favor, too. Would you email Linda Moulton Howe for me with regards to this wall and
absolutely
what you think might be happening? Her email address is earthfiles@earthfiles.com.
Okay, and anybody in Las Vegas can go and look. Anybody knows what the Blue Diamond is. They can go up to that rock wall. It's just east of Wounded Horse, the street called Wounded Horse, just as you're going into Vegas. It's on the left side of the road from Pahrump. And that wall just goes up and up and up. And, boy, you look down under it, and it is a sight. It looks like the beginnings of a camp, a military camp.
Okay. Email her, because I'm going to turn her loose on this thing. earthfiles@earthfiles.com. You know what? Stranger things have happened. Let's go to Dale in Safford, Arizona. Hey, Dale, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, thank you. This is really bizarre. I'm a first-time caller, and it's out of place, and I didn't even want to see it, but it was in the early week of March, I believe. I was painting my house. I was actually listening to Coast to Coast on my CC Witness,
okay,
or C Crane, so because I'm a Coast Insider. But
thank
I seen a plane fly over me. It was a... I didn't know it at the time, but it's one of those Boeing 777s, and it was flying very low, like 1,500 to 2,000 feet, and it was flying very slow.
This is strange.
I live in a rural area, and I there's a small airport, but it wouldn't support something like this, and it didn't even have the landing gear down. It was coming out of the west, and it was heading east towards Lordsburg, New Mexico.
Could you see any insignia or anything like that on the plane?
The thing is, I seen it had a reddish-orange stripe that went from the nose all the way to the end of the plane, to the tail. And I couldn't tell what airline it was because the letters were written into the stripe. I was straining my eyes to see, what airline is that? You never see ever a Stratocruiser that's down at this altitude for any reason. And going that slow, I looked back because I was touching up the house. I looked back and I go, well, that's abnormal. And I looked at the plane really hard, and I tried to read what the airline was. All I could see was that the bottom of it was all shiny tin, that. It wasn't like painted on belly, and it had a reddish orange stripe that ran down it, and the airline was written into the stripe.
Well, now you do know that the Malaysia Airlines have a reddish orange type stripe. Did you know that?
Well, that's the thing. I went back on your website to get more programs before I even knew this was such a big deal. And I seen a picture that you had of one that was like at a terminal, the same type of plane. You know, it was on your website when I went to go get my download. And I go, you know what? That looks exactly like the plane I seen. It had three contrails coming off of it, one off of each engine, and one off right behind the tail section. And it was, they were dissipating quickly. They weren't like chemtrails or nothing. But it was going real slow, and I was just like, that is abnormal. And I've never seen anything like that before. And ever since I've seen it, I feel like I've got to tell someone. It's been like this
Wow. Thing
in my head.
All right. Now, if it was going to land, Dale, where do you think it was?
Well, it was heading in the direction of Lordsburg, New Mexico. I'm in Safford. That's the place that has Mount Ram and the Popo. And I live in a rural area. It's not in the city. I live in the county, and there's a small airport away from me, but it couldn't handle nothing that big, and it didn't have landing gear down, and I'm pretty close to it. And it was just cruising along, slowly going in the direction of New Mexico.
Did you tell anybody else this?
No. I dismissed it for a long time, you know, for a few weeks, and then I was on your program. I'm like, that is what I've seen. The only person I've told is like my wife and maybe a couple family members. I did look at the passenger windows. I could see them because I was kind of adjacent from where it was at over me painting my house.
Yeah.
And the whole back of those windows, the cabins, were all dark. Like, it didn't have any lights on in there because I was, like, straining to see if I could see people in there or something. I remember I was listening to John Lear, and I thought, this is... And it could have been like a few days after his program or something. I didn't attach any importance to it. I wish I would have attached more importance to it. You know what I mean?
Boy, this just makes the intrigue even more, Dale, doesn't it?
Well, it's, you know what? It's been in my head, and it's like, I've got to tell someone. I just need to swing away at this thing and let somebody know that, hey, you know what? I seen this thing, and it was an anomaly.
Is there a military base out that way?
It wasn't a military craft whatsoever.
No, I know, but is there a military base out there?
Well, the closest one is in Tucson, and that's David's mom.
Okay, so it wouldn't be that. Well, I got to tell you, that's strange. That just adds to the intrigue, because what you just described was a Malaysian airline. That's what they look like. They have that kind of painting and insignia on it. Let's go to Ron in Ontario, Canada. Hey, Ron, welcome to the program.
Hi, George. It's wonderful to be on, and it's a pleasure to speak with you.
Super. And I trust all is well with you?
It's going okay, but it can be better. There's a couple of questions I wanted to ask you.
Sure.
Oh, first of all, I think it's awesome that, that your son fulfilled his dream there at Busch Stadium.
Oh, my gosh. He had such a great time, and I wanted to step in and have even a better time, and I don't know what happened. How could I miss 25 pitches when the last time I played, which was about 30 years ago, I hit everything that was thrown at me? I don't understand.
Well, just to be on the field and just to grab a bat, you know what I mean? It was fun. Player myself, and just a moment just to play in the stadium like that would just be phenomenal.
There was a great time.
I'm really proud of you guys for doing that.
All right, well, thank you.
I have a couple questions I want to ask you. Now, do you? I don't know if you ever had someone on the show to talk about this, but about time travel.
Yeah, we've talked about time travel a lot, but go ahead. What's your question?
Well, I was wondering I'm not really educated, but is it really, really possible to do this? And the reason why I'm asking is because I'm kind of interested in them myself. I don't know if anyone like myself can get involved in something like that. And the reason why I'm looking at that is because it would be kind of neat to see kind of history and also to see what's going on in the future.
Well, the people we have on, they believe that one day it will be possible to travel into the future and into the past. The future easier than the past, by the way.
The future easier than the past. Okay, because the reason why I'm at, because I was raised by deaf parents, and my mom and my dad have been deaf all their life, and they did the best they could with me, but there's a lot of things that I haven't fulfilled potentially in my life.
Right.
And I really regret it, because a lot of people say that I have a lot of potential, especially with people, to do things in life. But for whatever reason, it's never clicked in at this point in my life. And I've always felt that I had a lot of signals and doors open for me to do things. But for whatever reason, I'm blind to it. Like, you know, as far as like relationships, potential jobs, I'm just at a crossroads in my life. And I figured, you know, maybe if I went back into time, and not so much just to see history, but just to kind of see where I went wrong and then try and correct all the wrongs.
And let me ask you something too, Ron, if I can. When you were growing up as a kid, was it difficult for you in that if both your parents were deaf, I don't know how they communicated with you. So were you slow in speaking or anything like that?
Yeah. So I learned to sign language before I learned to speak. And I didn't really get to really speak fully till I was about 4 or 5. And education wise, I really suffered. I fall back a couple of times in grades. I feel grade 4 and 7. And I think it was devastating at the time, but when I look back at it, it was probably the best for me. Because
let me tell you, it probably made you what you are today, too. Oh, my gosh. We'll be back in a moment.